Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about...
Should Christians celebrate Halloween?
So, important conversation about Halloween, and I think it's timely. This episode should come out first week of October, I believe. And lots of people are asking us this question.
Yeah, and we get this question every year. We did a podcast on it last year, so we'll probably touch on a lot of the same points. But here's just a refresher for this year. Should Christians celebrate Halloween? And if we shouldn't, does that mean that we need to opt out of all Halloween activity? Where should Christians draw the line? And if we're talking about not participating in Halloween because of its pagan roots, then doesn't that mean that we shouldn't celebrate Christmas and Easter as well? Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and answer these questions and more on today's episode of Real Christianity.
Yeah, so a couple things before we dive in. One thing, actually, I'll say, is it's coming to that time of year. We're a nonprofit. Last 3 months of 2019. And that means that we're going to be talking a little bit more about donations and supporting ministry. And what I want you guys to know is that for nonprofits... the last 3 months of the year is pretty much 80 to 90% of the funding for the following year. And so it's a big deal in terms of ministry. And, you know, for those that don't know, this podcast, it's 100% funded by God's people through prayers and financial support. And so we do this podcast completely for free. And it takes a long time. I spent, even just for this one episode, it took me 2.5 days. You know, scattered throughout the day, but probably a total of like 10 hours to write this episode content. On top of just the camera equipment and then the studio and getting Veronica in here, and we're doing it when our kids are napping.
Paying someone to edit it.
Paying someone to edit it. And so there's just a lot of things that are going on. So I want to thank those of you that have supported us financially, that you've really invested into what I believe is eternal work. If you guys just take a moment and go read the reviews of this podcast, you'll realize how much of an impact the content is having on the people of God. And it is just astounding. And so again, thank you guys for that. I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about our plans for next year. And so, Lord willing, I'm going to be able to write a book or start a book and curriculum for planting biblical house churches. You guys know that that's what we do, relearnchurch.org. That's our ministry. Lots of people have been asking us for that. My hope is, Lord willing, to be able to start that book and start building that curriculum, which is a big project for next year. Our team is working on improving our companion ministry, ultimatemarriage.com. We're trying to get that into churches and small groups, as well as developing and filling our store, which is shop.relearnchurch.org, with new resources on church and theology and parenting and marriage, pornography and addiction, you know, all types of topics. So we have lots of work. We have a small team and a small staff that really is doing a lot. And man, it would be nice to be able to hire another person, and in God's time, and I'm sure we will, but we are definitely working hard over here as a team. And I think it's easy for people to believe that, hey, someone else is going to give and someone else is going to support the ministry. The truth is, while we've been making it every month, we don't make it by much in terms of just, you know, having a modest salary, paying our employees, again, modest rates, as well as just, you know, buying equipment and producing content and doing advertising for the content. So we're not like doing, you know, we're not like 100% funded. We're actually by no means 100% funded right now. And so if you guys just would consider praying about, yeah, maybe making a $10 a month donation for the next year, or $50 a month, or just maybe a one-time gift. We also have a group called The Pillar, and The Pillar is a group of people that I would say are radically generous and support us in a very in a larger way. It's at about $12,000 a year or more. And we only have a few of these people, but they really bring sustainability and stability to the ministry, because we can rely on things. And, you know, the public donations kind of go up and down, and they're very hard to rely on. So if you want to be a part of The Pillar, you can also just email me. My email is just dale@relearnchurch.org. And it would be, we have a handful of people that are part of that group, and they are called by God to support our mission. So if that's you, we'd just love to let you know that that's a thing. And thank you guys for supporting us so far. It really has meant a lot to us.
All right, so jumping into this week's episode. As I said earlier, I get messages all the time of moms asking me if they should be guiding their families into a celebration of Halloween, and should they be buying decorations and carving pumpkins and going trick-or-treating. So let's start with the most important question first, and that is, what is Halloween? Where did it come from, and why is that important?
Yeah, so this is a good question. I actually did a lot of research on this, because there's a lot of conflicting stories on Halloween, depending on what perspective. The Christian perspective can be a little slanted towards like super, super evil. And then if you look at the, you know, the secular perspective, it's actually not as bad as you know, some might paint the picture of Halloween. I wanted to go back further, so I did a lot of research. Even if I looked at History Channel, Wikipedia, had some really great content there. I'm going to just kind of, you know, look at my notes here, but Halloween originated with the ancient Celtic festival. It's called Samhain, and it's spelt Samhain. So you probably, if you've done any research, it's pronounced Samhain. And that's the 9th century in Ireland. And it's actually the celebration of the dying crops for the year. Like, it's the mark of the end of the harvest time. Things aren't growing anymore is kind of basically what this was a part of. Well, that was the 9th century. In the 8th century, just 100 years earlier, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor all the saints that had been martyred throughout church history. And we know that as All Saints Day. So I want to first draw just a perspective that Halloween and All Saints Day are two different days. So just keep that in your mind right now. And so the evening, you know, before is Halloween. And I think there was just due to the proximity of how close those days were, I think a lot of people started incorporating some of the traditions of Samhain into All Saints Day. And I think that's the case now. However, the Catholic Church has specifically said on their website that Halloween and All Saints Day are completely different. Halloween is secular. All Saints Day is holy. It's actually such a holy day of the Catholic Church that you actually have to attend Mass if you're part of the Catholic Church on November 1st. And the secular Halloween that we want to talk about, the roots of that, is to believed as a night that released the dead spirits that control nature. They've kind of been held captive underground by the kind of vegetation, the live vegetation from the previous months. So this is kind of where it comes from, that there's these spirits underground that are controlling nature and life and death. And when things die, those spirits come out on this day. That's where this was originated from. And this is actually the origin of jack-o'-lanterns, right? The idea that a pumpkin, it's dying, it's coming off the vine, but then there's this like carving a face on it and putting a candle in it, and it's this life coming, the spirit coming to be inside of this dead thing. And that's kind of the origin of the jack-o'-lantern. Halloween is a historically, if you look it up and just look at pictures, it's a night where people would circle around bonfires. They dress up in costumes, and their attempt to dress up as costumes is to scare away evil ghosts. Bad ghosts is what I found online. And you'd have these seances to welcome the dead, the good dead spirits, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so you see, if you just search like Halloween and you look at pictures or the origins of Halloween, you're going to see all these people around bonfires and like old drawings of people like circling around bonfires dressed up. It's very satanic in terms of it's just nature. And again, this is not crazy research. I found a lot of this stuff just on Wikipedia's History of Halloween and History Channel with a few other kind of diving deep resources that I found online. But over time, Halloween has kind of evolved into what it is today, this American cultural holiday. We've kind of sanitized it in an American culture. It's trick-or-treating. It's fun. It's carving jack-o'-lanterns. It's festive gatherings. It's the harvest time. But I want to say that Halloween still holds its spiritual roots. It still does have that even here in American culture. And there's actually a satanic strategy in play. And I want to share this. This is something that I just discovered in my time. And I thought it was fascinating. I thought it's worth sharing. Hopefully you'll find it at least interesting. So if you look at the satanic calendar, which is kind of weird to do, I was looking it up. I was like, just in my research for Halloween, and all of a sudden I start all the ads on my computer become like weird, like devil games for like, you know, gaming. It was really gross. Anyways, I did this. I'm looking up satanic calendar on Wikipedia. I go to Wikipedia and it really shows there's four central holidays in the satanic calendar. And there's a lot more, but there's four that are central and they're listed there. The first one is your personal birthday. And so the first and most prominent event for the satanic calendar is your own birthday, which is this interesting reality of celebration of self. It made me actually feel a little gross about like having birthday parties, but that's another conversation. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But what it is we have that as the first and primary part of the satanic calendar. The second one is called Walpurgisnacht. It's a very weird name. It's a German name. It's on the evening of April 30th. And the very next day, May 1st, is St. Walpurgis Night, or St. Walpurgis Day. It's St. Walpurgis is a German saint who was known for intercessory prayer of fighting off witchcraft. And so that was the night that they would celebrate St. Walpurgis. Well, and then all of a sudden, there is this Walpurgisnacht night that happened one day before that. And so it's interesting that there was this satanic holiday that was placed in proximity one day before St. Walpurgis Day. And that's their first and most important kind of non-birthday holiday. The second one is Grand High Climax. And that is an indulgence night of sex and food and demon revels focusing on birth and children. Okay, it's really gross. Grand High Climax is, guess what date it is? December 24th. This was placed again right after Christmas had been taking place on December 25th. So that I start to see this weird pattern where there's these satanic holidays that are placed one day before church or holy church-sanctioned holidays. And so St. Walpurgis Day, then Christmas, and then here we go with Halloween. And so Halloween, October 31st, and then All Saints Day, which is, again, just remembered the saints that were being martyred one day later. And so I want to say that there's a strategy in play, that there's kind of a pre-day evil alternative to these church-sanctioned days. I could be looking into it a little bit too much, but it was fascinating at the very least. So I want to say that there could be a strategy in play. I think there is a strategy in play in regards to Halloween, and I think we need to know more about the spiritual conversation, which we will get into later.
That's really fascinating. So what it sounds like I'm hearing you say is that the vast majority of people who celebrate Halloween are likely just innocent families who are unaware of its dark history.
Yep.
So that said, Christians need to be aware about the relationship between Halloween and Satanism. Just because it has become an American holiday where most of culture participates doesn't mean that there's no spiritual involvement mm-hmm. in what's happening. So now that we know how Halloween came to be, should Christians celebrate Halloween?
Yeah, this is a big question about Christians. And that's what I'm specifically talking to that audience right now is Christians. And so before I share our position of should Christians celebrate Halloween, I'm going to share Anton LaVey's position. Now, Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satan back in the 60s, I believe, and the author of the Satanic Bible. And in regards to a discussion around Halloween, in an interview, he said, "I'm glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year." So that's a statement from the founder of the Church of Satan. And the reality is Halloween is viewed as a satanic holiday by Satanists. It's on the satanic calendar on Wikipedia. You can go look at it. It's on their website. We got to understand that. So there is spiritual roots that are involved in the American Halloween that we all think is so friendly. I'm going to give you guys three reasons why we have chosen not to celebrate Halloween. And Veronica will give some clarity on what that means later in the episode. So the number one is that Halloween is a celebration of darkness. It really is. It's really difficult to get around that argument. It's a celebration of darkness. It's an evening holiday. It even happens at night. And Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so expose them with what? Well, you know, one is bring them to the light is what the narrative of Ephesians would tell you, and also the narrative of the New Testament. God is light. And John alone, I'm teaching through John at church right now, and in the first 12 chapters, the reference of God being light is 22 times just in 12 chapters. And so 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, this is the message that we've heard from you, or that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him no darkness is at all. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So darkness is really the opposite of light. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. And so I just want to say, one, it's a celebration of the opposite of who Jesus is the light. And I didn't have enough time to put too much emphasis on how much celebration of darkness is, mostly because it's so obvious. But we will get into more of the nitty-gritty details about Halloween here in a second. So that's point number one.
Yeah, and just to bring a clarifying point, Dale's talking about why we don't celebrate Halloween. And as he will point out later in this episode, there's a difference between celebrating and being present. Mm-hmm. It's the same idea of kind of like being in the world but not of the world. So Dale and I think that there's an opportunity for mature Christian families with older children to be present during Halloween that pushes the light of God and the light of the gospel forward.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I recently heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. The vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We've put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at relearnchurch.org/Bible. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/Bible.
But let's go ahead and move on to point number two of why we don't celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, so number two is Halloween is a celebration of death. Mm-hmm. So number one is a celebration of darkness. And then we're going to talk, number two is a celebration of death. And so this is why your local Home Depot and Target stores are covered in morbid and decaying and dying witches and skeletons. It's a season to make children more comfortable with evil and the distortion of God's image. I'm going to say that again because it might be, in my opinion, one of the most core statements of the entire podcast. I want you to hear this. Halloween, the season, it's a season to make children more comfortable with evil and the distortion of God's image. That's really what's happening there. I want you to become comfortable. It's not that bad. It's not that scary. It's not that wrong. it's a night to elevate nooses and demons and gore and horror and fear. Mm-hmm. And hey, you don't need to be afraid of that stuff. You don't need to be away. You know, it's not scary. It's making you feel comfortable, a child feel comfortable with things that we shouldn't be comfortable with. An appetite for horror movies, for example, in your teens is cultivated in your childhood. This has been proven over and over again. And if you're comfortable with a playful form of human perversion, you'll eventually become comfortable with a less playful form of human perversion. And Satan is a patient incrementalist. We got to remember that. He's in the long game here. And so when you are comfortable with these small things and these kind of scarier movies, you know, I remember as a kid, I'd watch Are You Afraid of the Dark on Nickelodeon. And then I started watching Tales from the Crypt. If you guys remember that, I was not in a Christian home as a kid. Tales from the Crypt, and that was on like MTV, and it was this weird decaying skeleton dude. Then when I was maybe 13 or 14 or 15, I was watching Chucky and Friday the 13th and weird, all only around.
I remember watching Goosebumps as a probably 9, 10-year-old. I was pretty young.
Yeah. And just weird, mm-hmm. gross, gory distortions that are attack on God's image. So as Christians, we don't look forward to death. Death is actually our enemy. Death is our enemy. We don't celebrate death. We look forward to life. We don't look forward to the rising of the dead. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead. There's a difference there. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead to eternal life. There's a difference there. And one thing I want to say, and I want to remind you, is that Christ came to conquer death on the cross. We don't celebrate the thing that Christ came to conquer. So that's a really important point. We're not going here to celebrate, because what you're seeing in Halloween is not eternal resurrection to life. It's real, truly dead death. Mm-hmm. It's sinful death. And that's what's being glorified on that day. And not even just that day. It's already happening now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, walking around the stores. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a study on NCBI that showed an obvious link between horror movies and suicidal behavior, including suicidal ideation, hopelessness, self-harm, and low life satisfaction. And we know that suicide and depression are on the rise across the world. It's heartbreaking and devastating. It's so sad. Mm-hmm. And so why would we want to place our children in any environment or annual tradition that nurtures a desire for fear and morbidity? Mm-hmm. The enemy is so strategic, and you don't go from a clean and pure childhood to enjoying movies about fear and gore and horror. There's a process that allows you to get there. And the entire Halloween season is designed to kindle that process within your child.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really, it's just a weird.
It's desensitizing them little yes. bit by little.
That's a good word right there. It's desensitizing them. And yeah, we need to work on shielding our kids. Number three, so number one and two, again, is Halloween is a celebration of darkness. Halloween is a celebration of death. And Halloween is a celebration of evil. Now, again, I know it sounds like, oh, but no, but we're just dressing up as Little Mermaid and like going and having fun. So there's varying degrees. But what I'm not talking about what you're doing. I'm talking about what's happening at a spiritual level. What's happening on whether your situation is you're going to go over to your friend's house and have some trick-or-treating and it's all going to be fun and games, that's different than what is happening in the Satanist community that same night down the street from you. And so I want you to just be aware of the spiritual landscape of what's going on. You get to determine in your own family how you're going to walk this out. But you got to realize that it's not an innocent holiday.
Yeah, the Satanists are rejoicing in the fact that people that aren't even really aware of what's going on are joining in with them in the celebration of death.
Yeah, when you have this kind of nostalgic relationship with Halloween as you get older, because it was so fun as a kid, it's easier to kind of get into that. Let's watch some scary movies, and that scary movies takes you down to like, let's start having some ideas that have to do with those scary movies, and I'm already depressed, and it's a multifaceted, complex attack by Satan. That this is just happens to be one acute event that we can be prepared for. So Halloween is a celebration of evil. So I'm not saying that all non-Christian celebrations are evil, because there are other non-Christian holidays that aren't evil. I am saying that Halloween specifically is rooted in evil and elevates things in Scripture that Scripture tells us not to elevate. So that is what's happening. But we talked about earlier, what about other pagan holidays? And pagan just means non-Christian. It can sound like a terrible word. It just means non-Christian. And so, isn't Christmas pagan too? If Christmas is a pagan holiday, doesn't that make it evil? The short answer is no. Christmas really means the mass of Christ's birth. It's the celebration of the mass of Christ's birth. History has a variety of different stories on the origin of Christmas. And even if it has a pagan, or it would be weird for me to have a celebration of Christ's birth be pagan. However, regardless of where it's from, the church has kind of adopted and sanctioned that even in the 5th century as Christmas being on a church holiday. And we can't compare Halloween, which is the celebration of death and darkness, demons, all these gore, horror, and fear, with the celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ, the birth of his life. Like, we can't, they're nowhere near each other. Halloween doesn't have any of these kind of redeeming qualities that these other holidays like Easter or Christmas has. And so it's in its own category. I just wanted to point that out. Should we not celebrate St. Patrick's Day? I'm like, well, it's a different conversation. Halloween is unique and it's different than other holidays.
Yeah, okay. So the big question is that people ask us is, so do you just sit at home and lock your door and turn off your lights?
Yeah.
Do you do anything special? Do you go to the local church with the trunk and treat kind of thing? Personally, no, we do not. Our kids are pretty young. So in this season, we personally just try and work really hard to shield our little ones from darkness. Home Depot and Lowe's are like the worst places to go this time of year. If we need anything from there, I'll send Dale by himself, because they have the giant blow up yard things that you put in your front yard.
Yeah, witch and flying on a thing.
Yeah, demon looking things. They're just
ghosts
scary.
Hanging from nooses.
And I don't need my children seeing that. Yeah. So we try and avoid those stores if we can. But I mean, obviously, we still go to some stores where there's going to be Halloween decorations. But we just don't partake in most church's sad attempt to redeem and sanitize Halloween. But we do celebrate fall, and we enjoy the fall season. Mm-hmm. We usually get together with some other families for a harvest party or, sometime near Halloween, but it's usually in November. Mm-hmm. And we do understand that some families with older children who are established in their faith use that night is an outreach night, which can be fruitful. But we personally, at this stage in our life, do not.
Yeah.
I know last year, we live on property. We live on 7 acres, and all the properties around us are 40 acres, 50 acres, 100 acres. So we don't get trick-or-treaters out here. So we do have some friends the last couple of years who do live in town who will just come to our house and hang out here, and we'll have a movie night with the kids and eat dinner together and fellowship together.
Yep.
But we don't. We personally at this time do not partake in any of it.
Yeah, and so there's a really important question I want to pose even just for the church. Is it okay to use an irredeemable event like Halloween as a church-sanctioned evangelism tool? Because that's a weird thing, A lot of people ask me the questions, it's so weird how we use Halloween to, draw people in. It's this weird, dark thing that we use as the church to pull people in. They've related it, do we go to the strip club to, get people to come to Christ? And I think that's different. I think yes, the church can use Halloween to pull people in, so much as it's actually offering an alternative to the public. And the problem is, right now, is the current solution for Halloween in the church is almost identical to the world's solution for Halloween. It's like, oh, we're going to do trunk or treat. And the only thing different between trick or treating and going to the trunk or treat is the trunk or treat happens in the parking lot of the church. But everything else is absolutely the same. there's kids dressed up as different crazy things and vampires and different stuff going on. And instead of like that, that's the church's attempt to make it better, is that it's at the church parking lot. And that's so much better now. I think they've done a pretty bad job, actually, of making it redeemable, actually using the opportunity and using it well and offering an alternative to Halloween.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are some churches out there, but majority.
Yeah, the majority. Yeah, exactly. And those are just some of the churches we've been to in Southern California when we were down there doing that. I mean, I think a good alternative would be something like a harvest community dinner on the lawn, depending on where you live, that season, time of year. Yeah. On the lawn, you know, big community, free food for the community, family night movie with a gospel presentation at the end. Because I go, I'd gone to so many Halloween things, and I never heard the gospel being preached. The only thing that I associated with the Halloween night is that it was in the church campus. That's it.
When I was in junior high, I remember going with some friends and rather go to the church campus only because I was guaranteed more candy.
Yeah.
Not because of the gospel.
Yeah, and there's really no other presentation of Jesus there except that you're on the church campus.
Or there might be scriptures on your candy.
Yeah, right. Somebody might put scripture on the candy. Yeah, and so you know, I just think that the church could do a better job of coming up with ways that, okay, let's be a little bit more different. Let's not jump in the Halloween thing and try to make that like sanitized. Let's do something like an actual alternative. And I think I remember even as a kid, you know, yeah, during a Halloween night, going to like a all night movie night thing at a church once before. And I thought that was better. You know, you didn't dress up. You just came and you brought your pillow and sleeping bag and hung out with a bunch of kids in this big building. And we watched a movie and that was fun. It was when I was like 12 or 13. And I remember that being, actually I do remember hearing the gospel of that one. So there's a church somewhere in Southern California that's doing a good job. but why does all this matter around Halloween? 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from it. You just don't want to be a part of it. We want to expose darkness. We don't want to be in fellowship with it, or we should be careful with it. Even in its onesie twosies, small moments that you kind of think that it's just nothing, it's a big deal. Think about some of the memories you have as a kid that you just had. It just happened one time. You were watching that movie and it had that one nudity scene that one time, and how you can still remember it and you're in your 30s. Like, there's things like that. You got to just be really on guard for your kids' minds, especially when they're young. And so we got to remember that when we're in a world filled with suicide, murder, wickedness, immodesty, you know, gosh, we didn't even talk about the way that teen girls dress on Halloween. Fear, depression, anxiety, all the things that are plaguing our generation right now. In a world filled with these things, we can't believe that dressing these little things, these horrors, up in cute decor a few nights, or you know, one night a year, for some people, many Halloween parties per year, makes them any less of what they really are. They're evil. They're not holy. And so we just say, hey, guard your little ones, especially. Train up your older ones to get out there and be the light and defend when the time's right in their life. And you'll know that as parents. I feel like I can go out to a Halloween party, preach the gospel, and be apologetics, you know, defend the truth, you know, have a great conversation with people, do relational evangelism. I feel like I could do that. But it's because I'm trained to do so. And you know, we need to learn to basically, just recognize the spiritual landscape of Halloween and how we as Christians can, be more prepared to present it. So that's the end. I'm sure there's things that you're going to ask other questions that we just didn't get a chance to focus on. I've realized that there is a frog in my studio as I'm filming this right now. I'm watching it hop over there, but we'll close out this episode, with one last request for reviews. Guys, If you haven't left a review on our show, we'd really appreciate that. You just have to tap the stars on iTunes. You don't even need to write anything. But if you do, I'll read it. And if you haven't got a chance to order or pre-order my new book, Real Christianity, would love for you to do that. It's a great way to support the ministry and get something in return. shop.relearnchurch.org or relearnchurch.org/RC. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I recently heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. The vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We've put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at relearnchurch.org/Bible. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/Bible. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org. If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.